John chapter 3. Pick up where we left off. I invite your attention to John chapter 3. Help us, Father, to learn from your word. Speak to us through what you have already written. Help us to learn of you and to take these exhortations and apply them directly to us and to share them with others. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
John chapter number 3. This is a very famous episode of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night to inquire of him. We made our way through the first, I'm going to say, 8 or so verses. We certainly mentioned verse 9 and I took a cursory look at 10. But let's pick up verse 9 and read through verse 15 together. John 3 verse 9, Nicodemus answered, responding to these truths, these verily, verily, you must be born again truths. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how is this possible? How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. There's the criticism. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, again, there's the criticism, the constructive accusation, really. If you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, only he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, big words, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Of these 6 or 7 verses that we're going to look at together this morning, 3 of them are somewhat difficult to explain. But we will try, as we give some thought to this subject, biblical truth to blinded eyes. Biblical truth to blinded eyes. Or we could say spiritual truth to sightless eyes. And I couldn't help but notice as Lee prayed and I echoed his prayer that God would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive these things, which is exactly what Nicodemus needed. There is a video that is circulated around on social media. Don't necessarily recommend it, but there are some parents who are trying to help their young son with his math homework. It would be downright hilarious except for the vulgarity that they use in front of and really aimed at their young son, their child. The mother asked the young boy, she says, what is 3 plus 2? And he says 5. And she said, that's right. And so she begins to read the math problem out of the textbook. And the math problem says if Johnny has 3 apples and his friend gives him 2, how many does he have? The little boy says 50. The mother says, where did you get that from? She says, if Johnny has 3 apples and his friend gives him 2, how many does he have? He said 46. And impatiently, she just sort of smacks the young man in the back of the head. And the father says, honey, you can't beat the answer into the boy. Let me try. So he gets down in the floor beside the young man, and he leans over into his ear, and he says, son, the answer is 5. And then he reads the math equation. If Johnny has three apples and his friend gives him two, how many does he have? And the little boy said, 10. Father said, son, you're not hearing me. The answer is 5. Reads the equation. If Johnny has three apples, his friend gives him two, how many does he have? And the boy said, 12. And both parents just threw their hands up in frustration, not knowing what to do with their struggling son. I tell you that story for this reason. In a sense, this video that I have mentioned is a depraved version of the conversation that takes place between Jesus and Nicodemus. Seemingly, no matter what Jesus says, Nicodemus just doesn't get it. He can't figure it out. He should, though, as a teacher, probably a member of the Sanhedrin, he should understand. He should know these things that Jesus is relating to him, but he doesn't. And friends, the problem that Nicodemus faces in this passage, and the problem that every person on the planet has, is far worse than a math problem. It is a spiritual problem. And being born again and having saving faith in Christ alone is the only right answer to the spiritual problem. Now remember, in this passage, Nicodemus has come to Jesus by night to ask him a series of questions. And rather than any amount of small talk whatsoever, Jesus gets right to the very heart of the need of Nicodemus. What Nicodemus needed, like all people, was to be born again, to be born from above. Nicodemus knew some good things about Jesus, but he did not trust in who he was and what he came to do. Jesus had demanded the new birth. He had explained the new birth. He had illustrated the new birth. But Nicodemus remains confused and confounded. You see that right in our text, verse 9. How can these things be? In a place of spiritual darkness and confusion, Nicodemus responds by saying, how could this new birth take place? What is this new birth, Jesus, you're talking about? How is it possible that that's true and I don't know anything about it? Why, I am a rabbi. How can one be born again? Nicodemus asked Jesus. And in response, you'll see in Jesus in verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I want to read this to you and I think maybe a little bit more accurate understanding. Jesus asked him, are you the teacher of Israel and don't know this? That word that is in our King James here as master. And listen, I don't want to be overly critical, because translators, good translators like the King James translator, they knew far, far, far more about languages than what I do. But the word here, the underlying Greek word, is the exact same word in verse number 2 where Nicodemus says, we know that you are a teacher that has come from God. But in verse number 10, they translate it as master. I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they take the same word and translate it one way, and then 8 verses later, they take the same word and translate it a different way. But my understanding is that the Greek is so emphatic that Jesus is saying, are you the teacher of Israel? And you don't know this? It is almost as though Jesus is shocked, surprised, that Nicodemus is in the position that he is in, yet has no true understanding of what is required to be in right relationship to God. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't truly surprised by that, but he is dismayed by it, taken back by it, and rightly so. This man is one of the prominent teachers of Israel and doesn't understand what it means to be in right relationship to God. He is a teacher who teaches others, but he doesn't know what he is teaching. He is misteaching, mishandling, wrongly informing every student and every Israelite under his tutelage of how to be in right relationship to God. And so Jesus rightly responds and says, how is it possible that you are a teacher, the teacher, and you don't know these things? But in an act of grace and patience, Jesus is going to detail exactly what Nicodemus needs. Or let me say it like this. Nicodemus, here's your problem. Here is why you don't understand the things that I'm saying to you. Not only is he telling him what his problem is, he's also not just diagnosing it, but he's also giving him the resolution. This is how your spiritual blindness can be resolved. Together, I want to note four reasons. Notice this. Four reasons why Nicodemus wasn't a believer and needed to be born again. Now, let me set the stage just a little bit. Think about this. Think about who Nicodemus was. Ask this question. In his position, one would assume that he would speak in behalf of God, being in right relationship with God, but Jesus says he's not. And that he was in desperate need of being born from above. So why wasn't Nicodemus a true follower of Yahweh God? What was it that kept Nicodemus from trusting in Christ? He has eyes, but he cannot see. He has ears, but he cannot hear. Nicodemus was a religious man, inarguably a very religious man, but he did not know God. Nicodemus was a learned man, but he was ignorant of spiritual life-giving truth. He was a studied man, but he did not see Jesus, the Messiah, and his true fulfillment on the pages of Scripture. Nicodemus was hearing, but he was not understanding. So Jesus gives biblical truth to his blinded eyes, his blinded sight. And Jesus very graciously is going to explain, Nicodemus, this is what your problem is. And here's how it can be resolved. Now, if you'll think, and I would urge you, perhaps what was true of Nicodemus is also true of you. You're learned, you're studied, you're religious, but you don't know God. Perhaps you're hearing, but you're not understanding. Maybe your eyes are blinded like his were. If so, I pray that today God would give you ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand so that you too can inherit eternal life. And for those of us who have, let us think, let us consider that the problem of Nicodemus is the problem of every unbeliever. And the need of Nicodemus is the need of every unbeliever. So I urge you to listen to these four reasons. See if they don't fit this narrative. See if they are true of you, and see if they're not also true of our unbelieving friends and family. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, first of all, here's your problem, friend. Number one, you don't receive our testimony. Now I go ahead and say what I said again, verse 11, 12, 13. They're difficult verses. I'll do the best I can with them, okay? Now, Nicodemus, here's your problem. You don't receive our testimony. Verse 11, verily, verily, notice this. That is the double amen. This is the third time now in this conversation that Jesus has said that. Nicodemus, of an absolute certainty, you can quote, take this to the bank. You can count on this. Hear what I'm saying and trust it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we do know, and we testify, we've seen that word, testify, bear record, what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. There's the issue. Nicodemus, you don't believe what I'm saying. You will not receive my witness, my testimony. Now there is I mentioned this last week. There is a we and ye going on again. Remember Nicodemus says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. And Jesus says, ye, and ye is plural. We know you're a teacher come from God. Jesus says, you all need to be born again. Now in verse 11, we speak, we know, we have seen, but you all do not receive our witness, our testimony. Now, who the we is, or the our, in verse 11, where Jesus says, we speak what we know, we testify what we have seen, you do not receive our witness. Who the we is a matter of debate. There are probably, I read, up to five or six different possibilities. It is possible that Jesus was talking really about himself in a plural form, which is not all that abnormal. It's possible. It's possible he was talking about himself, the Father, and the Spirit. I tend to think that he is talking about himself and his true disciples, his first followers, those who had heard the testimony, received the testimony that they were bearing witness to what they had seen. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be born of water and of spirit. You got to be purified. You got to be made new. You got to be cleansed. Nicodemus, the work of the Spirit is like the blowing of the wind. But your problem is, no matter how emphatically I say this, no matter how clearly I illustrate this, you do not receive our testimony. You don't believe the things that I'm saying. The claims that I have made, the truths that I have shared, the testimony all about me is reliable, but you don't receive my testimony. In fact, one commentator said it like this, that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, we know what we believe with absolute certainty, but you guys, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. I think Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, we are eyewitnesses to the new birth. So are these. They've experienced the new birth. They've seen it. They've experienced it. There is evidence of the Spirit's work blowing, as it were, through them, making a change in them. We know that the truths, the spiritual truths that we're setting before you, we know that they are verifiably accurate. We know this. But the diagnosis is, Nicodemus, you won't receive it. You won't acknowledge it as true. You think it's make-believe. You think this is a fairy tale. You think I've got bad doctrine. And the truth is, if you will think about it, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, that here is your need. Here is what is wrong. Here's what it is required. All of the things that he says to Nicodemus are exactly true to every unbeliever. You want to know one of the problems with those who are in unbelief? They do not receive the testimony of Jesus. The things that we say about the new birth, being born again, being saved, they don't receive it. They reject it. They think it's a fairy tale. They think it's make-believe. They think it's just something that has been thrown out, some long, antiquated idea that should be cast into the past and forgotten. What Nicodemus needed, what all people need, is to take Jesus at His word, to receive His testimony, the things that He says about Himself, to believe that. So the imperative, my friend, is this. Receive the witness of Jesus. Receive it. But secondly, not only did Nicodemus not receive their witness, in verse 12, Jesus says, you don't believe elementary truths. Now I got to bridge this. It's not easy. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things. And I think what Jesus means when he says earthly things, I don't think he's talking about the weather, government. I don't think he's talking about, you know, sports events or what's going on around the city. I don't think he's talking about, I think he is talking directly about the things that he has just mentioned. The new birth that takes place on earth and must take place on earth. And I think he is saying, if you do not receive this most basic, elementary truth, this earthly truth, base truth, if you don't receive that, you're not going to receive greater truth. So the second reason why Nicodemus was an unbeliever is not only did he not receive their witness, but in verse 12 you see, you do not believe these truths. You do not believe these very fundamental, elementary truths. And I feel like I'm right in saying, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, I have just told you and told you and told you again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, if you won't receive that, then you're not going to receive higher truths, heavenly truths, deeper spiritual truths. If you don't believe these elementary things, that you must be born again, then you're not going to believe bigger things. Think about this. It is sad when someone who is tasked with teaching eternal truth, and that's what, as a teacher in Israel, Nicodemus was tasked to preach biblical, spiritual, eternal truth. But the problem is he didn't believe it. He didn't believe the right things. The earthly, fundamental things, or the heavenly, deeper things. Imagine a professor in a classroom at a college who is assigned to teach advanced mathematics, but he doesn't even know basic multiplication, addition or subtraction. How much more egregious is it then when someone who is the teacher of Israel is not only not in saving relationship with their God, but doesn't even know how to be in saving relationship with God. Nicodemus, you don't believe these fundamental things, these elementary, earthly truths that I've just laid out. And again, the problem that Nicodemus has is the problem every unbeliever has. They do not believe, they will not receive when we say things like, you've got to be born again. And if they will not believe that, they're not going to believe heavenly things. Which is why when you talk to people about Jesus coming back, if we talk to people about the return of the Messiah, people sort of, if you have that conversation, some people are going to look at you like you are crazy. Well, if they won't receive the basic things that Christ came once, lived, died, and rose again in the behalf of sinners, and trust, if they don't believe that, they're certainly not going to believe that He's coming back. Nicodemus was not fit for higher truths in that he had not received the most basic of truths. Being saved or born again. The third problem. The third issue. Why is it that Nicodemus needed to be saved and hadn't been saved? From verse 13, you do not recognize my authority. You do not recognize the authority of Jesus. And no man has ascended up to heaven. No one has, but only he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 13 is a hard verse. I'll tell you what I think, okay? I think Jesus is in actuality pointing the mind and memory of Nicodemus back to Proverbs. When we began this morning, I read from Proverbs chapter 30. I asked you to take note of verse 4 where Agur says, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Jesus quotes, I think quotes Proverbs 30, part of what we call verse 4, to point the mind of Nicodemus to who he is. Agur wanted to know who has ascended up into heaven, who has come down from heaven. And you look at the close of the verse, only God. And so what is Jesus saying to Nicodemus? I'm a fulfillment of what Agur was asking. I am the fulfillment of that question. No one has entered into the presence of God, remained there, and came back from heaven. No one has done that, but listen, Jesus came from heaven. He descended from heaven. Can I say it like this? Heaven was the home of Jesus. He came here, condescended, descended to earth. And as such, He has authority to speak about heavenly things. He can speak about heaven because heaven was His home. He can speak about eternal spiritual truths because He came from God, descended from God. Descended from heaven as God might be a better way to say that. He came down so He can speak with authority about spiritual matters. Nicodemus, you don't recognize who I am. You don't recognize my authority. And again, the issue of Nicodemus is the issue of every unbeliever. They do not recognize who Jesus is. They do not recognize His authority. They do not recognize that he ascended. That language, I think, could be tied towards what Jesus will do, ascended up into heaven following his resurrection. But obviously it's clear that he descended from heaven. The issue Nicodemus has, the issue that every unbeliever has, is they don't recognize who Jesus is and his authority. Nicodemus, you don't know who you're talking to tonight, friend. I descended from heaven, from God, as God, in flesh. And the reason I'm hammering that is notice, if you will, the close of verse 13, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. I guarantee you, when Jesus said this, the mind of a Jewish scholar like Nicodemus ran immediately to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Now, we actually read that at the 10 o'clock hour this morning. In Daniel's prophecy, chapter 7, verse 13, it makes mention of the Son of Man who is given a kingdom that endures for all time, given to him by the Ancient of Days. And so Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, I am the Son of Man that Daniel prophesied about, who has descended down from heaven and is meeting with you tonight. That's why I say this is biblical truth to blinded eyes, because you can guarantee yourself that when Jesus used Son of Man, Nicodemus was thinking, is he claiming to be the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy? Yes, he was. He absolutely is. Nicodemus, you see me. You're talking to me. But your eyes are blinded and you don't see who I truly am. You don't see where I came from. And you don't understand the authority that I have. The close of verse number 13, where it says, which is in heaven, is a difficult little phrase. How could Jesus be on earth and in heaven? That's a difficult phrase. In the oldest extant manuscripts, you impressed by that? In the oldest surviving handwritten manuscripts that we have, that phrase is not in there. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be in there. It's very possible that John added that after Jesus ascended back to heaven and could say he is in heaven. But there's a deeper truth that just because Jesus was here on earth does not mean that he wasn't also in heaven in his divinity. Now that's deeper than I can get, friends. I'll be honest with you about that. So I'm just going to leave that alone. But not only was his issue that he did not received the witness of Jesus. He did not believe the truths that Jesus was propagating. He did not recognize the authority or who Jesus was. But fourthly, Nicodemus, you do not truly understand Scripture. Verse 14 and 15. And this is so beautiful. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that, so that, in order that, whoever believes in him could have everlasting life. Jesus is taking this rabbi to Sunday school. The true teacher is taking a teacher to class. Now, when Jesus mentions Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, Would you agree with me that a truly educated in the Old Testament scholar would know immediately the reference that Jesus is making? You'd agree with that, right? Jesus said this, and it's like Nicodemus is like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, he knew exactly, and was probably understood it, read it, studied it far more than any of us ever have. But if you'll indulge me, let's go back to Sunday school real quick in the book of Numbers in chapter 21. And I know you're probably familiar with this, but this is rich enough that it is worthy of another look. Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers 21, the children of Israel are in the wilderness journeys, and they're just fed up. They're frustrated. They've had it. Life is not like they expected it to be. They had not entered into the promised land. In fact, you'll read this in just a minute. They had just gotten sick of eating the same thing every day. Manna. They had manna soup, manna bread, manna pudding, manna soup. Everything you could do with manna, they had it, and they were sick of it. Notice, Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, that manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto Yahweh, pray unto the Lord that he may take away these fiery serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And Yahweh said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that when everyone that is bitten looks upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, most of us have been around church long enough, we're familiar with that story, but I guarantee you are not as familiar with it as Nicodemus was. Very simply, God became angry with Israel because of their murmuring and complaining. He sent fiery serpents among them, venomous serpents, I would imagine. And then when they bit the people, they got sick and died. And the curious answer that God gave to Moses was to build a large pole. If you'll think with me just a minute, we have said in the past that there was probably 1.5-2 million people that came out of Egypt. So if he's going to build a pole and form a brazen serpent to wrap around it, it's got to be a pretty high pole for that many people scattered around the camp to be able to see. So it would take time for that to be formed and crafted in the metal molded. But when someone had been bitten, all that was required was that they look and live. Look at that serpent and they'd be healed. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you know that story. You could retell that story in vivid detail. But what you don't see, Nicodemus, is that story was simply a type or a shadow of what Messiah will do. That story in Numbers is not only descriptive of what happened, it is prescriptive of what will happen. Even so, must the Son of Man, there it is again, be lifted up. In other words, that serpent of brass lifted on a pole was just a shadow of Jesus, the Messiah, hanging on a cross. That's worth preaching again. That brazen serpent was just an old, long shadow of Jesus of Nazareth nailed to a Roman cross. Nicodemus, you see that story, but what you don't see is that's just a shadow or a type of what Messiah will do, because just as those Israelites, when they were bitten, if they would look, they could be given physical life, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And for all who will look at Him, they can be given spiritual life, eternal life, everlasting life. Nicodemus, you can read it off the page, but you don't see what it's saying. It's pointing to me, to Jesus, the Messiah. Even so, must the Son of Man be lifted up. John likes that language. We're going to come across that language again. You have a couple of it, a couple of verses in your bulletin. And if I, Jesus says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John 8, I'm going to just turn over there real quick. John 8, verse 28. Listen, I'm wanting to get ahead of myself. John 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Why? Because I've already told you the manner in which I would die. I would be lifted up on a pole. The Old Testament story demanded that people would look and live. The New Testament fulfillment of Jesus is look and live. All people have been bitten by the fiery serpent of sin and all stand guilty and condemned, and your only hope is to look to Jesus and live. Nicodemus, it doesn't do you any good to look to the law. God didn't tell Moses to carve out the Ten Commandments on a table of stone and lift it. Nicodemus, don't go looking towards your traditions. Nicodemus, look to me and live. And the need that every person on planet Earth has is the same as Nicodemus. They don't know. Their issue is they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Scripture that it is telling us that Jesus is the only way whereby we can be saved. He is lifted up. In fact, that language lifted up, I know this is a lot, but it's not just talking about the crucifixion. It's talking about the exaltation of Jesus being lifted up. There's a double meaning in what John is writing. We'll get into that later in our study. Notice verse 15, that. Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish. Those who were bitten by the serpent were dying. By the fiery serpents were dying. Those who have been bitten, and that's all people, by the fiery serpents of sin, they're dying. But how is it you can look to Jesus and not perish, but have everlasting life? John likes that phrase, eternal life, everlasting life. Not just physical life, not just physical healing, spiritual life, spiritual healing. These four reasons that I've given you is why Nicodemus was not in right relationship with God. He did not receive his witness. He did not believe the truths. He did not know who Jesus was or his authority, and he didn't understand Scripture. The same thing could be said of every unbeliever. This is why they're in unbelief. They haven't received the truths that Jesus claims about himself. They do not believe the necessity of the new birth, the very fundamental things. They don't know who he is, where he came from, or his true authority. And they do not believe because they have not, do not understand, really understand what the Scriptures are saying. It's not enough to be able to quote Scripture. You've got to know what it is. And just like in the case of Nicodemus, Nicodemus knew that story, but he didn't understand. It was pointing to something bigger than that, just that story. Very candidly, I think Jesus is speaking in a language that Nicodemus should understand. He should know that 3 + 2 = 5. He should get it. Can I point something out? And I don't want to make too much of this, but maybe it's something. Maybe it is something. I hope I'm not reading too much into this, but if I have my exegetical work right, if the references that I've made to Proverbs, to Daniel, to Numbers, if those things are right, I want you to think about something. Jesus quoted here in this conversation, he is quoted from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now remember, to the Jews, they grouped the Old Testament into three major headings. The law, which would be the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five, the prophets, major and minor, and then the poetic books. They would just say the Psalms, but they include Song of Solomon, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So listen to this. Jesus has shown himself to Nicodemus from all three of those major headings to a Jewish scholar. Nicodemus, if I may speak this way, Nicodemus, I am trying to show you who I am. And I've done it from the law, the prophets, and the poets. This is who I am. Nicodemus thought he could earn the kingdom by his law keeping, but Jesus said differently. Nicodemus was thinking only physical and temporal. Jesus is teaching him about the spiritual and the eternal. Nicodemus did not need another physical birth. He needed a new birth from above. And that is exactly what every person on the planet needs. The Jewish obsession with an earthly kingdom was all wrong. Jesus was pointing him to a spiritual kingdom, which one can only enter into by the new birth. If we step back as I close, John is going to really, he's sort of going to leave the narrative of the conversation with Nicodemus. Now, I know some of you are looking at your Bibles and you're looking at them red letters and saying, now, hold on, preacher, but you hold on. Y'all ain't ready for that yet. You had to wait next week. John sort of gives us a cliffhanger. He doesn't tell us what happens to Nicodemus. Not right away. It's sort of left out there. Jesus and Nicodemus are meeting. They're talking. And you know, in many other places, the Bible will tell us that, and this person believed, but it doesn't say that about Nicodemus. We got to keep going to find out. I think John sort of leaves us with this lingering question: will Nicodemus be born again? Will he believe and receive the testimony of Jesus? Will he see Christ in the Old Testament and embrace those truths? Will he recognize the authority of Jesus, where he came from and who he is? Will that happen to Nicodemus? Well, I think it does. But the more pertinent question is, has it happened to you? Have you been born again? Have you received and believed the testimony of Jesus? Have you recognized His authority? Do you believe the Scriptures point us to Him? And have you found saving grace in Him? I gave you a little break last week, but I got to bring you back. Why is this written right here? These things have I written unto you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have everlasting life. Friends, please hear the need of Nicodemus, and if you are not a Christian, it is your need. If today you are a believer, think about this. Your friends, your family, your loved ones, who are not Christians, they need exactly what Nicodemus needed. The same thing. They need to believe these elementary truths about the new birth. They must recognize His authority. They must understand Scripture points to Him as the sinless substitute who was lifted up to take the sins of men. And if we will look and live, the old song, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus and live. If you fail to do this, if you fail to trust in Christ, then come judgment day, the righteous King Jesus will do more than give you a slap in the back of the head and say you should know better. But He will cast you from His presence for all eternity. And here's the thing. There's no reason why anyone. I believe in the divine, sovereign grace of God. And I believe in the wonderful doctrine of election. But listen, there's no reason why anyone should die without doing what is required and what Jesus mentions here. Because John 3:16 is the very next verse. It's the very next verse. May God help us.